the thing I wanted most, I was 6 years old, was a Daisy BB gun. And I think I've told this story before. I walked outside. We opened presents on Christmas Eve when I was growing up. And so I got this BB gun, and I, just to let you know, I terrorized the neighborhood for years after that. But I remember shooting that BB into the darkness, and I could see the light from the back of the house glimmering on the BB as it went across the yard. And I was like, boy, we are in business now. The birds and the squirrels and the puppies and anybody else is going to be in trouble. All right, so I didn't shoot any puppies. I shot some kids, but I didn't shoot any puppies. All right. It's a true story, too. We're going to talk the next 3 weeks about the Christmas list. And as a kid, I remember, having things that I wanted that was on my Christmas list. I don't remember which ones I got and which ones I didn't, to be honest with you. But I do remember that every year the Sears catalog would come out, and you got to be a certain age to remember this, all right? So anybody that doesn't remember this, you're just young, and I don't just thank Jesus that you're still young. All right, so they would send out a big catalog, and it's like 3 inches thick, and it had everything you could ever want. It was the Amazon of 1975, all right? And then at Christmas time, they would send the Christmas wish book out, and it was about an inch thick. And it had a bunch of stuff, but it had every toy known to mankind. And when that thing would come in the mail, that was, you know, when you had a mailbox on the front of your house and you went and got it, I would take that in and I would have a pen and I would just go through and circle the stuff. And now you just go click on it and it saves it to your list on Amazon. Back then you had to circle the stuff and you had to leave it open on the coffee table so mom and dad could see it, all right? And then you're always concerned about being on the naughty or the nice list. And, you know, by Christmas, you know, you're 11 months into the year. There is no way to fix it. I mean, if you're on the naughty list, you're just there. You get to start over in January with the rest of us. But listen, when you are, I almost had you look at each other and just decide if the person sitting beside you fits on the naughty list or the nicest. But I'm not going to ask you to do that. All right. When we talk about it, obviously we're kidding. You know, we take our kids to see Santa Claus, and they sit up there, and he says, "Have you been a good boy this year? Have you been a good girl this year?" And every kid is like, "Yes, I have. I've been great. I've done everything my mom and dad said. My room is clean. There's no dirty towels on the floor. I mean, everything is perfect." And so then they start to tell Santa what the wish list is. This is what I hope I get for Christmas. And the parents have already heard this list. They don't have to stand too close. They're over there taking pictures. But we all understand what the naughty and nice list thing is about. It doesn't usually matter a whole lot. You get what you get and you don't throw a fit, you know. But when it comes to our Christian life, I want to just kind of delve into this a minute today. When it comes to our Christian life, we still sometimes have this weird idea that God is keeping a naughty and nice list. Now listen, the Bible does say that when we sow bad seeds, it comes back to us. That sin kills us, I mean, and destroys us, all of those things. But when God is giving out, and I want to focus on this one gift today, when God is giving out the gift of grace, he is not asking you which list you're on. He's not saying, "Have you been good enough to deserve my grace?" He's not saying only the good people get grace. Here's what God said. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, there is no nice list. It's just a naughty list. Everybody in here, I don't care how good we are, we all fall on the naughty list. The Bible says we were born in sin. From the time you were born, you were a selfish brat. I mean, God said it, not me. He said you were born in sin. And so when we approach God, and I've talked to people about this before, and people will say, "Well, I'm going to start going to church when I can get this area of my life fixed." And I always say, I think you got that backwards. You start going, you come to God, and then he helps you get this other stuff fixed. Don't start trying to fix stuff without God, because you're just going to mess it up worse. Give it to him. Realize that everybody around the room, just take a look around the room. Everybody you used to think was on the nice list, now you know they are not. They're on the naughty list with you and me. They messed up. Every one of us has failed God. Every one of us would be a mess without Jesus. And so when he starts giving out his grace to us, he's giving it because we need it, not because we deserve it. When he starts giving us grace, he sees in us the potential he placed in us. He placed in us. We didn't have anything to do with it. He sees the potential he placed in us, and he's going to draw that out of us through a process. It's called growing. As we grow and as we mature, he's going to draw that out of us. Now, when I am saying, God, I need your grace, there are times that I need to say, Lord, I've kind of messed up. I need your forgiveness. I don't want to keep doing that stuff. I want to move forward in this. And God, the Bible tells us that God says if we will confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the picture of grace. Now, I want to start with this one scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. If you don't have this one memorized, take some time later and just put it in your memory. God saved you by his grace when you believed. Now, that's an important sentence for us this morning. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And God didn't save you when you were good enough and when you earned it and you jumped through the hoops and you got it all figured out and you got it right. It says God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you put your faith in him, you said, I know who you are and I get it and I trust you, Lord, and I want you to change my life. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. I can't take credit for what God has done in my life. It was a gift. I can't take credit for it. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. So if you ever see anybody with some spiritual pride and they start feeling like, you start to feel like they think they got it figured out and they did something special with their life and it was all about what they did, remind them of this scripture. You can't boast about it. Anything worth having, anything spiritual in our lives worth having, happened because of God, because of Christ, because of his grace. And we can't boast about it. I can't brag about that. You can brag about some things in your life, but changing your future, changing your spiritual future is not one of those things that we can brag about. Now let's go back to the first line. God saved you by his grace. I want to give you a quick definition of the word grace. Here we go. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's God saying, I love you so much that I'm going to give you this gift of grace. I'm going to give you my riches, but you don't have to pay for it. You don't owe me anything. I'm going to give you this at the expense of what Christ is going to sacrifice for you on the cross. It's God's riches, God's blessings, and Jesus paid for all of it. He's the one that gave it to us. And he's the one that loves us even when we fail ourselves. Think about when Jesus was being crucified. There are two thieves, one on either side of Jesus as he is being crucified. One of them is obstinate and arrogant and mean-spirited even as he is dying. The other one says to Jesus, hey, please remember me. Please remember me. He knew what he was. He was a criminal. He was a failure. His whole life led to this point. He was being crucified for his crimes because he had done so much bad stuff. He understood that and he recognized who Jesus was. And Jesus is there being crucified in an unrighteous manner. They had nothing against Jesus, but they wanted to get rid of him. It was a power grab in short. And this thief says to Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he was saying, I know who you are. And here's what Jesus said. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The criminal was on the naughty list. He was on the bad list. He had done a lot of bad stuff. And yet Jesus said to him, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to jump through any hoops. Today, you'll be with me. Today, I got your back. I'm going to give you my riches, my grace, and I'm going to pay for it. I'm just going to pay for it. You ever go out with somebody and at the end of the meal, they say to you, I'm picking up the tab. Don't worry about it. That's great, but I always like it better when somebody says, hey, get anything you want. I'm paying for it before we order. You know what I'm talking about. Like, if you would have just told me 30 minutes ago, man, That steak Zach was talking about a while ago. I wouldn't be eating this hamburger. No, we get it. We appreciate something free. We just do. We appreciate free stuff. Get everything you want, the tab's on me. That's what Jesus said, except it's not a steak. It's eternity. Jesus said, get what you want. I have what you need. You just come to me. The Bible says it, come to me and I'll give it to you. And it's all free. It's already been paid for. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to earn it. It's all free. I want to give you four characteristics of this grace we're talking about. Here's the first one. It's a characteristic of God. Grace is a characteristic of God, all right? This is what, when you see a picture of God, you see a picture of grace. When you are thinking about God, you are thinking about grace. Look at what Psalm 145:8 says. The Lord is gracious, or he's full of grace. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of grace. So when God gives you grace, he's giving you himself. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Jesus was born in a stable around the animals, and it was a very humble beginning, right? And at the end of his life, even though he didn't have riches that we would consider riches, the Bible says that Jesus even said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He didn't even own a house. And he knew this wasn't his home. He's just passing through here. He knew one thing. I got to go and pay for this. I got to pay for this penalty of sin with my life so that everybody else can be saved. And so he wasn't doing it for the good people. He was doing it for all of us. And so when he gives us this grace, when he gives us his riches that are unearned by us, he is giving it to us freely, and he's giving it to us as if he's giving himself. Now, there's something special when somebody gives you a gift that they have put some sweat and tears into, right? Something that's handmade, something that they do. Like, you know, they took hours to do it, all right? And you receive it, and you realize they didn't just click buy now on Amazon and send it to their house and open the box and put it in a different bag. They worked on this thing. It's from their heart. Jody does preserves. She like cans peaches and all that kind of stuff. And every time she gives them away, I'm like, please stop giving them away. All right. She does jelly and syrup, all kinds of blackberry stuff. It's delicious. And she'll give that stuff out sometimes at Christmas. And I know the work that went into that. It's not just her saying, let me go by and, you know, Walmart and take the label off some grape jelly and then give it to somebody else. There's sweat that goes into that. She's out there picking blackberries and doing the whole thing. So she's giving away from her heart. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He said, look, I'm taking this to the ultimate level. I am full of grace. I'm giving you a part of myself. And here's the second one. This gift of grace is eternal. We don't often think in eternal terms nowadays. We don't often think about what eternity looks like. Right now, it feels like we're thinking more about what's going on in our lives right now. Right now. And that's legitimate. Lots of people with lots of problems and issues and challenges, and that's okay. But we need to keep in the back of our mind that this is an eternal thing. When God gives his grace, look at what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I can't earn that stuff. I can't earn it. I can't be good enough. I need God's grace. The grace of Christ was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And it goes throughout the New Testament, and it leads us all the way into eternity. There's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of a guy named Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And David and Jonathan were very good friends. And eventually, the king and his son Jonathan are both killed. And his son is left. And the Bible says he was a little boy. And the maid jumped up and ran with him. And she fell down with him. And it crippled his legs. It broke his legs to the point that he wasn't able to walk any longer. And David later becomes the new king of Israel. And the Bible says that David asked the people who knew, is there anybody else in the family of Jonathan, my friend Jonathan, that, is there any family that needs to be taken care of? And they said, well, there's this guy from Mephibosheth. And he doesn't have what he needs. And all of the land of his family has been taken away. And he really has nothing left. And David says, David is the new king and the power to do whatever. And in the traditional time, the tradition was in those times that if a king died and a new king came to power, the new king would kill the entire family of the old king. And yet David said, no, no. I want to know who in that family needs me, needs my help. We're going to go get them. And the Bible says they bring Mephibosheth to David. And David says, I'm going to give you back your father's land, and you're going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. It was a picture of grace. Mephibosheth was scared to death that he was going to his own execution. He was afraid that David was calling him and he was going to kill him when he got there. And instead he said, not only am I not going to kill you, I'm going to give you back what is rightfully yours, and I'm going to let you eat at the king's table every day that you want to. Now that's how God looks at some of us. We got nothing. We have nothing to offer God. We don't have any money. We don't have any obvious talents that the world is after. All we have is our own lives and our own failures, and we're bringing that to God, and God is saying, look, I'm going to give you what is yours. I'm going to give you grace, not because you earned it. I'm going to give it to you because I want you to have it, and you're going to eat at my table from now on for eternity. So when we are talking about God's grace, we need to remember it's not just about today. It's about the future and where God is going to take us. Here's number three. God's grace is free. It's just free. Romans 3:24, I love this scripture. It says, yet God, in his grace, this unmerited favor, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Remember we said the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the last part of this scripture says he did this through Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Our sins no longer bring death into our lives when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. He's given us this grace and he's given it freely, unconditionally. Unconditionally. How about this? He loved you so much that he gave you eternal life. He saved you knowing that you were probably going to mess up in the future. Knowing that you were going to get it wrong at some point. It was a gift. You know, you don't earn it. You don't work for it. You're just changed by his grace. I love this. Titus chapter 3 says he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He didn't save us because of what we had done. Sometimes it's easy for people who have been in church and walking with Christ for a long time to look down on people who are still struggling and failing out there. And just say, we sort of say things like, I don't know why they don't just get it together. I don't know why they just don't change their circumstances. I don't know why they don't make better choices. And we have to remember that we didn't earn this to start with. Any good decision you ever made in your life was not because of you. It was because of him. It was because of his grace that you are where you are today. And when we say, I know and I remember, I know who I am and I remember where I came from, and I know God has even more for me, and he's given it to me freely, he's given it to me freely, let me share this freely with somebody else. I want to challenge you to do something. Find somebody in your life. Can I just say this? Find somebody in your life that's just jacked up and needs Jesus, and just start loving them. Just start loving them. Don't ask them to change a thing. Just start loving them right where they are. This was free for you, so it's going to be free to give it away again. Find somebody that is just messed up, and you just say, boy, if it wasn't for the grace of God, that would be me. Let me share freely this love, this grace that I've been given with somebody else who doesn't deserve it. And just love them and see what the love of Christ does. The Bible says this. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Sometimes we start walking with Christ and we get this list of things. We don't do this and we don't do this and we don't do this and we don't do this. I remember being asked as a kid, what does your church believe? And I said, well, we don't do this and we don't do this and we don't do this. And I was like, man, nobody wants to go to this church. It's a lot of don'ts on this list. And I didn't realize that I should have been saying, we believe that Jesus loves you. We believe in grace. We believe in mercy. We believe that God changes our lives and sets us free. We believe that when we love Jesus, we start to obey Jesus. But I can't start obeying him because then it becomes that to-do list that you and I are going to make in January. We're going to promise all kinds of stuff. I'm going to do this and do this and do this. And by the middle of January, you're like, forget that. 2024 is coming, or 23 or whatever's coming. And so when we are trying to check the list, we're not saying this is free. The key is to love Jesus. And if I love Jesus, I'll obey Jesus. So let's start with love. Start with that place in our own personal lives and then share it with somebody else. Do you have the person in your life you're going to love after you walk out of here? It might be somebody that's real close to you and you got a real problem with them. We're just going to get right up at home today. It might be that you've had a real problem for a long time, and your job is never to change someone else. My job is to go catch the fish. God's job is to clean the fish. Jesus said, amen. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He didn't say I was going to make you a cleaner of fish. He said, I'm going to make you a fisherman. You're going to go out and what's the bait? Love. Love. Not a list. Love. All right, here's number four. It's personal. This gift of grace is personal. It's personal. John 1:17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace comes through a person, the person of Jesus Christ. God himself. It comes through him. We talked about Mephibosheth and we talked about the thief on the cross, but there's so many people in the Bible who experienced grace. There was the woman who was caught in adultery. And they were getting ready to stone her because they were focusing on lists instead of on love. They were getting ready to stone her, and Jesus just happened to be there. I love that he just happened to be walking by. And Jesus said, hey, the one of you who has no sin, you should cast the first stone. Rocks started dropping all over the place. People started walking away because every man in the crowd knew that they had sin in their lives. They were afraid they were going to be next. If we start taking account of everybody's life, everybody's failed. We all get stoned. The Bible says this woman is sitting in the dirt, and Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? Because they've all gone. They're hiding somewhere else. Then he says, hey, go and sin no more. She experienced the love of Jesus. And then he said, now go. Now that you've experienced the love of Jesus, go and don't keep living this lifestyle. Just go. Live your life for me is what Jesus was saying to him. It's grace. The first book of the Old Testament was written by Matthew. Matthew was a Jewish man who was working for the Romans who had overtaken Jerusalem, and he's collecting taxes for the Romans, and his own people hated him. Tax collectors were known to be cheaters and liars, and Jesus said, I got a plan for your life. I got something for you. I love you. I'm going to change your life. You're not going to be that person. You're not going to be that cheater, liar, betrayer anymore. When Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, you're going to betray me. And he was like, nah, not me, Lord. I would never. Before he could even finish his statement almost, he's betraying Jesus three times in one night, and yet it was the grace of God that allowed him to preach the very first sermon. We talked about this last Sunday, the very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Was the grace of God that gave another opportunity. I don't know where you are and what's going on in your life this morning, but I do know this. There's grace, and it's free for every one of us that wants it. We just got to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want you to have your way in my life. I want you to to guide my life. I want you to cleanse me, forgive me. I need that eternal life that you have for me. And as we receive it, our life starts to change. The pressure that we felt is gone because we realize that all the pressure's on him. The Bible says this, if seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all this other stuff will be added to you. You know what he's saying? If you'll put Jesus first, he'll take care of all the stuff you're worried about. He'll give you wisdom to make the decisions that need to be made. He'll open the doors that need to be opened. He'll give you the job that you need. He'll help you with that family situation that you're scared to death of and worried about right now and that's keeping you from sleeping at night. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All this other stuff's going to be added to you. That's grace. That's grace. That's really him saying you got one focus. Jesus. Jesus. And he's going to help us with all the other stuff that we're struggling with. Amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise. I love you. Amen. This week, I want you to think about the one person in your life that needs grace and that you're just going to love them. You can all stand with me. We don't know if we're standing or sitting, do we? I'm sorry. And I realized when Jody was about to sit down, I was like, uh-oh, we don't know what we're doing. All right. So, the one person in your life that needs grace, and how are you going to love them this week? That's what we're praying for as we pray ourselves out today. Father, thank you again for what you're doing. God, we want to share your grace with somebody in our lives who needs that grace. We're not going to expect anything from them. We're not going to ask anything of them. We're just going to love them and share the grace we've already received freely. We're going to share it freely with them this week. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.